Do you have do you have a question where we might be able to help you with?
Shoulder was cracked in my, yes, in my right hand. And
are you asking if God is the one that is responsible for this?
No, it wasn't God. It just was some of them old booties and old thing they were doing to me. Just see, like my name, Solomon stands for peace.
Well, certainly God will be able to give us peace, and he will enable us to be able to get on top of the challenges that come through this life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then after listing several necessities of life, like food, clothing, shelter, he says, and all this will be added to you. And then verse 34 says, take no thought on tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough problems of its own. Sufficient as the day is the... and so we've got to look to God's word for the answer in that. And so there's a lot of physical things that may inflict us in this life. And, of course, this life is not meant to last forever. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. And so we need to look beyond this life to the eternal in order to have that kind of peace.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling today. Sure do appreciate your call very much, and tune in again next week if you will.
All right, yeah.
All right, thank you for calling. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. The number is 308-9564. That's 308-95. We're going to take our first break right now, and you can go ahead and call in your question while we're at the break. 308-9564. This is Let the Bible Speak.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. Please take a moment to write this number down, 308-9564. You can call 843-308-9564 during the program to ask your questions live on the air, or have someone read it on the air for you, and we'll answer it. Call now before the lines fill up. Again, that number is 308-9564, 308-WJNI.
Today we've been talking about motives. Why do I pursue the things of God? Why am I searching after more biblical knowledge? And why do I listen to this program? And again, the idea is to find out what God's motives for us should be. That is to say, I should have or I should be motivated by the things that God says, and that's why I should be seeking him. Before we continue with this thought, I do believe we have a caller who's live. Caller, are you there?
Yes, you're on the air. How can we help you? Caller, are you there? Okay, as the calls come in, we do want you to do a couple of things for us. As we go on to the live calls, we want you to, first of all, turn your radio down so there won't be an echo. And second of all, we need your name so that we can be able to call you by name. And so if you don't mind, we sure would appreciate that. And we will be glad to put you live on the air that way. This is a live broadcast. This is Let the Bible Speak, and we're trying to look to God's Word for all the questions that may be on your heart and on your mind. Okay, I think we have got the caller back. Okay, are you there, caller? Okay, how can we help you?
Versions are New Age and are that aren't sufficient to the truth and the Word of God.
Okay, well, let me answer that question. The Bible doesn't speak nowhere concerning a specific version, and here's why. Because the original language that the Bible was penned in was Hebrew in the Old Testament, Hebrew and Aramaic, and the New Testament was actually penned in Greek, what we might call Koine Greek or Hellenistic Greek. It was written in the everyday language of Greek. And so that's the original language of the Bible. And thus it was translated. King James is just translated. Oftentimes you'll hear the phrase authorized King James. That refers to the translation that was authorized by King James. But it doesn't make it any more accurate than perhaps another translation. In order for us to know whether or not it's accurate, you know, we have to do the research ourselves. You know, what I've found has always been helpful to have a Greek and Hebrew concordance nearby. So as I'm studying the scripture, right, whatever translation, be it King James, could be New American Standard, could be New International Version, that whatever version of the scriptures you have, you want to compare it to you can see from the Greek and the Hebrew. Oftentimes the translators, they get a little they kind of change things just a little bit, and so you want to look at it for yourself. Oftentimes you'll hear Ricky and I, as we're on the broadcast, say the original Greek or the Greek word there is such and such, or the Hebrew word there is such and such. And the reason why we say that is because oftentimes as we look at the what's been translated, sometimes it's not been translated. Sometimes it's been transliterated. That is to say, they took a Hebrew word or a Greek word and they made an English word out of it. And so sometimes it's difficult to understand what's actually being said. Also, you can look at the context. And so you can kind of determine what's being said by the context. And so all those things are helpful, but pertaining to a specific translation, God does not speak to that. And so God doesn't hold us to a translation, nor should any man.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely does.
Okay. Well, we sure do appreciate you calling in and asking that question. By the way, the King James, the New King James that we have today, actually there's two or three in function right now, is probably the fifth to sixth different update from the 1611 translation.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I hear.
Yeah, so what you have to do is just, if there's any question on any verse, go back to the original source and see what the word meant back then.
So, well, thank you so much.
All right, well, thank you for calling and thank you for listening each week.
Okay.
And Lord willing, we'll be able to continue on and with these questions. We're going to take a quick break right now so that you can know about the free information that we're offering, which is a correspondence course, and we're more than happy to send this to you free of charge. Well, you can go ahead and call in your question while we're at break, 308-9564. And when we get back, we'll get right to your question, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course, where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home. Again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor His disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we are back live on the air, and I believe we have a caller standing by us wanting to ask the question live on the air. I believe you're on the air. Can we help you?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, how are you? How can we help you?
Yes, I'm doing good. My question is, you answered the first question about the different, you know, like Hebrew and different things like that, because I'm saying, I know we're supposed to study the Bible to show ourselves approved. I know that. But what my concern was, as today, when it comes to paying tithes, do you pay your tithes directly to the pastor, or do you write it out to the church that you're attending?
Okay.
But is there any scripture that I can look over or read or study that I can find out? You know?
Well, I do want to encourage you to enroll in the correspondence course, because that will give you a lot of information. and that's at that other number that we told just now. But we do, to answer your question, your question seems to assume that we are supposed to take and give tithes today. However, when the new covenant, the new law, this new testament that we go by today, that we will be judged by, the law of Christ, nowhere in it did he tell us to tithe. So the answer to the question is the Lord does not tell us to tithe today. That was part of the old law, and that was done to take care of the priesthood and the temple and the Levites. The new law, under the new law, the Lord tells us to be bountiful givers from the heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses, it's actually chapters 8 and 9, and 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 and 2 tells us that we are to give, lay by in store upon the first day of the week. And so the tithes and offering are never practiced in the New Testament church. So I hope that answers your question. But now about your second part there is that do we give it directly to the pastor or the church? Let's say if we're just going to give an offering, do we give it to the pastor or the church? Well, again, let me say that the answer to that question is neither. We give to God. We give to the Lord, and the money belongs to him. He is the one that we are offering it to. And thus, as we give to the Lord, then that money now is his property, and we would have to ask his permission on how it is to be used. If it belongs to him, we need to look into God's word and see how God wants those offerings to be used. And so when you look into the book of Acts especially, you see a number of examples where such as that is done and how it was taken care of. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, that contribution there was taken up for the purpose of helping needy saints in the first part of the chapter, and also 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. In Philippians chapter 4, about four different locations, we see there that the church at Philippi was communicating or having fellowship or, if you will, supporting, sending resources, money, help to Paul in order to preach the gospel. And so there was how the money was given. It was given from the church there at Philippi. Now, as far as I'm trying to help you with your question as well, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, I believe it brings out those who are taught should also share with those who teach in all good things. And so in that case, if you happen to know the preacher and you know he's trustworthy and you know he's teaching the truth, because if you help him, then you are participating with him in that effort. Now, let me give you the opposite of that. In 2 John verses 9 through 11, it says, if someone comes to you and does not bring the doctrine of Christ, do not even let them in your house, neither bid them Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deed. But now, if he is teaching God's truth, then Galatians 6 and verse 6 would apply. So I threw a lot at you there. That was 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, 2 John, verses 9 through 11, and also Galatians 6 and verse 6. Does that help?
It helps. The only thing is that I am driving. I couldn't write down all these scriptures to, you know, read it for myself.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have a wreck doing it. That would have been a terrible thing. But what you can do is call the operator standing by, and she will be glad to take a note of these and send that to you as well. That number is 553-5157. We'll send you that list along with a correspondence course that you can study at any time you want in your home. That's 553-5157.
Okay, thank you.
All right, then. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. This is Let the Bible Speak. This is a live broadcast, and you can call in right now for your question, and we will be glad to let the Bible find the Bible answer to the question on your mind. The number here, the lines are available, 308-9564, 308-9564, and you can call in your Bible question right now. We are looking at motivation. What is motivating us to serve the Lord? And the last caller, obviously, was what is right, and that's what kind of motivation we need to have. We need to be motivated by God from heaven himself so that we will be able to be pleasing to him. However, we can be sincere and still be wrong. Nick, what do you have to say about that?
Well, when we began our discussion today, we looked at Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, where these people absolutely were sincere to some degree. They were drawing near to God with their mouth. They were honoring him with their lips. But God says in vain they worshiped him. You know, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men, said that their hearts were far from him. And so their motives were not appropriate.
You know, and that passage is so interesting because he's actually quoting from Isaiah. And back in Isaiah, where he's quoting from, it says that you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me because you are listening to God's word as by rote. And so it was just a tradition. They were listening to these men, and because they were listening to the prophets, if you will, or the teachers of the law, and thus they were more concerned with what their teacher had to say rather than what God had to say. And, of course, what Jesus pointed out there was that makes worship vain. Did you hear that, my friend? If we're more concerned with what our pastor says, what our preacher says, what our elders say, than what God's word says, that makes our worship vain. Did you hear that? That was Matthew chapter 15 and verse 9. So that's a really, really good point there, Nick.
Yeah, when we look back in the Old Testament, you can look at Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And what you'll find is, again, another group of people with the wrong motivation. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, Hosea says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And oftentimes we read that text and we leave off the last piece. He says it wasn't that they were not being taught. It wasn't that they didn't, you know, that they wanted to understand. They just couldn't. But he says, you know, because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priests over me. The reason why these people lack knowledge is because they were rejecting what was being taught. What's your motivation? Are you listening today with an open heart so that you can understand what God's will is? Or are you listening to hear what's wrong? Are you listening to hear something that, so that you can reject it? We have to have the proper motives. If you'd like to join us in our discussion right now, you can call 308-9564, 308-9564. Again, the lines are open. And as always, we make mention of this correspondence course that is available to you. If you would like this correspondence course, we'll send it to you in the mail. It is something that you can do in your home at your own pace. You fill it out, you send it back to us, we grade it, and then we'll send you the next course in the series. If that's something that you are interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. But again, if you would like to join us in our discussion right here, go live on the air with your question or have it written down and brought in to us. You call this number, 308-9564. That's 308-9564.
And we would be more than glad to take your question either live over there or it can be written down and brought into us. We started the broadcast today talking about motives. What is our motive in being religious? Hopefully your motive is similar to what Jesus referred to in John 7 and verse 17, where he said, "If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether I speak from God or whether I speak of my own authority." And so that's a key to our understanding God's word. If our motive is to not obey God and not to do his will, then obviously we're going to have trouble understanding God's word. In a Bible study this last week, the students said that they are... It was not until they decided to obey God and to please God that their eyes were open to understanding. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying here. That is what we should be doing. We should be willing to do God's will. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And so the only way that we can, it's all together. In order to obey him, we've got to love him, keep his commandments. In order to understand his commandments, we've got to love him and obey him. Matthew chapter 7 describes some people where Jesus says, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Now, regardless of my voice inflection there, I think we can see the gravity of what he's saying, and that is doing the will of the Father is absolutely necessary. He who does the will of the Father. We've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And it's nice to hear a good sermon, but it's better to see one practiced any day, and that would include all of us, wouldn't it? And so we've got to do what his will says instead of just being a hearer of it. Or we may hear him say to us, depart from me, I know you not, you who practice lawlessness. And so our motive has got to be right and pure if we are to be pleasing to the Lord. And thus we will be able to honor him with our love. If you love me, keep my commandments. The number here, 308-9564, 308-WJNI, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak to the question that is on your heart.
You know, it's interesting, Ricky, as you were talking, I've got to thinking about David's motivation. David actually was motivated because he actually had a love for the Word of God. It's just about time for us to take a break, but we'll discuss this in further detail when we come back. Again, for those of you who are listening, if you're at home, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 119. Psalms 119, we'll come back to that just here shortly. The number to call, you can call right now during the break if you have a question, 308-9564, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to dial a Bible study. A 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Today we've been talking about motives. You know, what's your motive to listen to this radio broadcast, to study the Scripture, to continue your journey as a Bible student? Are you motivated because, well, you want to learn more? Or perhaps you're like those of Hosea's day. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, they rejected God's knowledge. We looked at Matthew the 15th chapter, where verses 8 and 9, where these people actually love the teachings of men, really more than the teachings of God. And again, they had gotten into a situation where they were doing what they were doing by habit. You know, do you just go to service on Sunday just because you always go to service on Sunday? Do you tune in to us on Sunday afternoon just because you always tune in to us? Or is your mind connected? Are you spiritually connected to the things that's being said? Are you really listening? Are you trying to make a change in your life? Do you listen with the intent of hearing truth? And once you hear it, you plan to make a change in your life. When David talks about his motivations concerning God and why he did what he did, he was motivated because he loved God's Word. Before we went to break, I told you to turn to Psalms 119, Psalms 119. We're going to pick up here in verse 97 in just a moment. Again, I want to tell our listeners, those of you who may be just joining us, you are listening to a live radio broadcast. If you have a question and you're seeking a Bible answer, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564. In Psalms 119, verse 97, David says, "Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day." Now, notice why God's word was David's meditation. was because he loved it. He loved God's word. Is that your motivation? Are you motivated by a love of God's word? And verse 105, he says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. David saw God's word as illumination. It's what allowed him to see, even in the dark times. Is that the way you look at God's word? Is that your motivation? In verse 112, he says, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. He says, I've inclined my heart. I've turned my heart. I'm making my heart to hear, to listen to your statutes. And I'm going to do this until the very end. And verse 125, he says, I am your servant. Is that your motivation? Is that why you're trying to become a student, a better student of the scriptures? Because you see yourself as a servant of the Most High. He says, I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Verse 127, therefore I love your commandments more than gold, yes, more than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right, I hate every false way. Your testimonies are wonderful, he says. Therefore, my soul keeps them. Is that you, friend? Is that your motivation? When you hear the word of God, are you motivated because you think that it's right, you know it's right, and because you know it's right, you hate every false way? Because you think his word is wonderful? Your soul holds to it? Is that your motivation? Because you love God's word. Why are you listening to us today? Why do you study the scriptures? Why do you continue as a Bible student? What's your motive? If you'd like to join us in our discussion today, you can. 308-9564, 308-9564, and be more than happy to answer the question that may be on your heart. Again, 308-9564. I believe we have a question.
We have Pearl that's called in this question. Thank you, Pearl, for listening today, and we are honored that you are taking out your Sunday afternoon to listen to us. Her question is, why do congregations want to dress in your Sunday, want you to dress in your Sunday best? Well, Pearl, first of all, there's no such thing as a word Sunday in the Bible, and of course, if that's talking about the first day of the week best, you don't hear that passed around very much, but talking about dressing up to come to church, if that's the idea there, then really there's nothing in the Bible about that. Now, let me give you a couple of principles that they may be appealing to. In the Old Testament, when the children of Israel was told to prepare to meet God, God told them to prepare for 3 days to be able to look and see clean themselves up and get ready to meet God in person. And so that was, they were supposed to do that for 3 days to get ready to meet God. But again, that wasn't anything to impress people with the way they're dressed. So really, it comes down to tradition of what man has come up with today. If we're going to go and meet with some kind of dignitary, maybe some kind of government official or the like, then they will, our tradition is that we will dress up to meet them. We wouldn't just wear scraggly clothes. So it comes down to tradition because we certainly are gathering together to meet someone that is of the utmost dignity, God himself. And so that may be the reasoning behind that. But as far as just letting the Bible speak, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that we are to always be dressing ourselves in a way that is modest, with shamefacedness and propriety, the idea of good common sense, not with the braiding of hair or pearls or costly array, but that which is, in this case, is talking about how a woman is to dress, professing godliness with good works. And those principles would be true of any of us, that we should dress in a way that we're not trying to draw attention to ourselves, to where that we stick out, the where that people notice, actually. That should be the very least thing that people notice. But rather, God wants it to be the godliness that people see, the hidden person of the heart that people see first and foremost. And so, Pearl, I hope that helps you a little bit. But as far as I think it's more of tradition, we're meeting God, and that may be the reason for that. As far as dressing in our Sunday best, there's nothing in the Bible about that at all. Thank you, Pearl, for calling, and thank you for calling in your question, and thank you for listening today. I hope and pray that that was helpful to you. That was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We have another question, Nick?
We do. This caller, Lynn, she says, why are so many ministers afraid or unwilling to teach the truth about tithing? Well, Lynn, we appreciate your question. Again, this is actually a difficult question. I would hope that many preachers, if there are preachers of that is belonging to the Lord, those that have so set their souls on track with the Word of God, I hope that they are teaching the truth. And if they're not, if they're unwilling to teach the truth, well, it's perhaps because of what we read in 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, it does speak of a time where people would be, you know, not necessarily as willing to teach the truth as they should. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth." And so here he gives two examples. There might be those who will teach that you can't marry, or some will teach that you have to abstain from certain foods. But here he says God has created those foods that they might be received. Again, he talks about those teaching such things. In verse 4, he continues on. He says, "For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving." Now, why are people afraid to teach the truth on tithing? Well, let's broaden that a little bit. To some degree, there are many today who are afraid to teach the truth on a lot of different things. Maybe it's because we are, you know, it may mean that I'm going to lose some of the people that are coming and attending my service. Maybe it means that, maybe people won't fill the building. You understand? There's a lot of times people want or they attend service just for, just what they can get out of it. Nobody wants a lesson that is pointed. Nobody wants to hear a lesson that says I'm doing something wrong. Sometimes we are seeking to hear a certain message, and the way that today's religious world is, you can go just about anywhere and hear that message. Maybe that's why some are afraid to teach the truth. I don't know, Lynn. This is a difficult question. But what you should be doing for yourself is make sure that you know the Word. Make sure that you know the truth, and then you should try to find a congregation that is teaching that same truth that we can find within the pages of the Scripture.
You know, we have Maurice calling in for a very similar question asking about this. And he asked in reference to this tithing thing, and he wanted to know, is that something that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 21 and verse 20, chapter 22 and verse 21, where he said, "Let render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, and to God the things that are God's." And so, Maurice, that is a passage. And also in the next chapter, chapter 23, we see that Jesus actually tithed. And so that was a practice that was done until the law ended. And one of your comments was, is this one of the things that was abolished by Jesus when he died on the cross? Well, all of the Old Testament law was nailed to the cross with him, Colossians 2, verse 14. It was there as holding them in bondage till faith came, till Christ came, Galatians chapter 3, verses 24, 25, 26. And so when Christ died on the cross, the law ended with him. He came to fulfill the law, and thus when he fulfilled the law, then all the things and the regulations and the activities of that law were ended, except those things that were repeated in the New Testament. For example, 9 of the 10 commandments were repeated in the new law, the New Testament. The only one that was not repeated was keeping the Sabbath holy. And so as far as during the lifetime of Jesus, yes, the Jews and Jesus as well, Jesus was a Jew, paid his tithes, and so that was part of the practicing of the law. And Jesus kept the law perfectly. No one else did, but he did, and so he also paid tithes. But when he died on the cross, then that law ended, and thus the paying of the tithes ended as well. And so, Maurice, you've got you're right on track there when you say, is that part of it that he fulfilled when he died on the cross? Yes, that's absolutely right. And so now we are to go by the new law. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 warns us, if we want to go back to that old law to defend ourselves, to justify ourselves, listen closely. It says, "Whosoever goes to the law to justify themselves is fallen from grace." And so we cannot do that. Galatians 5, 4 and verse says that we cannot do that. Go back to the old law to pull anything out and try to practice it as a matter of the law of God today. We're going to go ahead and take another break, and we're going to be right back to our next question. But in the meantime, we do want you to know you can go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. to the question that's on your heart and on your mind right now. 308-9564. This is a live broadcast, so go ahead and call right now before we run out of time. 308-9564. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day, 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Okay, we're back live on the air now, and I think we have a caller standing by to ask the question on the air. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, how can we help you?
I have a question. Do a pastor of a church going to tell you that they're running the church as a business and study on, you know, running it to save souls?
Well, say your question again.
Do a pastor for it be able to tell you when you ask them, they're running the church as a business? And, you know, not just to save souls, but as a business.
Oh, okay. So you're asking if that is right for them to do that. Well, first of all, very, very good question. I appreciate your call. Is there supposed to be a pastor? Let's address that first of all, to where that it's a one-man show. Well, in the Bible, one thing you'll notice as you go all the way through the New Testament and look up every place where pastor, elder, overseer, bishop, all of these names referring to the same people, when you look and see all of those references, you will never see a pastor or a elder or a overseer. It was always spoken of in plural form. So first of all, for it to be a one-man show and it be his call, that is foreign to the Bible. There's no such thing as that in the New Testament. Those overseers, those pastors, elders, shepherds, there were always a plurality, more than one. And second of all, as far as him running it as a business, well, if it's God's business, then yeah, obviously. But the truth is, it's got to be God's business. It's not ours. The church was purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, the church belongs to Christ. That's the reason Jesus said, I will build my church, Matthew 16, verse 18. And so it belongs to him. And so we've got to ask his permission on how things are to be run. And so if we do not have his permission, for example, I didn't get your name. Are you still there?
Yes.
What's your name? First
Sammy.
Name? Sammy, if I were to come into your house and I pick up a, you had a, maybe a pile of money there, $20, $30, and I just reach up and grab that and just poke it in my pocket. Now, that would be theft, wouldn't it? Yeah, you wouldn't like that at all. You'd probably just say, I bet you can put that right back where you got that from. However, man does it to God every single week because that money is given to the Lord, and then they ask no one on how they're going to use that money. They'll just use it the way they think. They'll run it like a club, like some kind of fraternity, and never even ask the owner what he wants to be done with all of the property and money and such like that. Nick, you've got something on that?
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, when we think about the work of the Lord's business, you know, what is the Lord's business? in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians the fourth chapter, picking up in verse 11, the Bible says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors," plural, "and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service." You see, that's the work of the church, the work of service, work of evangelism, for edifying of the body of Christ. That was Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Does that help?
No, because they told me, this pastor told me that you're running the church as a business. See, I own a business, and I know the church don't supposed to be run as a business. It's supposed to be a place of worship.
Yep, that's exactly right. And our mission, the mission that the Lord has given us is that we are to be about saving souls.
Right.
That was the great commission that he gave in the first, actually before the church was even set up, he sent them forth in this mission. And that is why this program exists, because we're trying to reach the people with the gospel so that people will hear what the Bible says and not what man has to say.
Yeah, just a simple statement. The church is not a business.
Absolutely. But thank you so much for calling today. We sure do appreciate it. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And so this is Let the Bible Speak. We are live right now, 308-9564. I think we have another caller standing by, and let's see if we can get you live on the air. Are you there, caller? We're trying again. Are you there? While we're trying to work out those details, let me let you know the number is 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will be glad to let the Bible speak to the question on your heart. And so we'll be glad to, you can have your question written down and brought in here, or you can also go live on the air, even as this caller. Okay, I believe we have you now. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, how can we help you?
Praise God.
Thank you. Absolutely. We must praise God.
Amen. My question is, the young lady that called with the question, I think her name was Pearl, that said, why don't churches teach about the truth about tithing? And then the very next caller was Maurice, who said that when Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, condemned the law of tithing under the New Testament when Jesus was nailed to the cross. So I need clarification. Do we tithe according to the word of God, or is tithing outlawed by the nailing of the cross?
Well, I'm not certain about your last phrase there, but what the New Testament says, the new law from the time the church began, as far as the timeline is concerned, the church began on the day of Pentecost. As far as the books of the Bible, if you want to take those, Acts chapter 2 is when the church began. Thus, from that point forward, all the way to the back of the Bible, there is no practice of tithing. That is the law, the Christ law that he brought, that we should be going by and that we will be judged by. And so he came, he lived perfectly under the old law, but when he was nailed to the cross, Colossians 2 and verse 14 says the law was nailed to the cross with him. And so the new law is that we now are to live under Christ's law. The words that I speak unto you, the same will judge you in the last day, Jesus says. And so we've got to listen to what he wants us to be and practice today. Did that answer your question?
I understand that, what you were speaking there about concerning the law of Jesus. And my question is, in churches that teach tithing, Luke 6 and 38 states that we should give and ask to be given unto us. And now that's the word coming that during Jesus' teaching to the disciples, that these are facts that we must follow. From that point on, he, in his teaching of them, was giving them the rules that they must follow.
Well, and that was a rule that absolutely that we should follow. That's absolutely correct. But that word, that phrase, verse did not mention tithing there. We are to give. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it brings out that the Lord loves a cheerful giver, a bountiful giver. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, that we're to give upon the first day of the week. And so, yes, we are to be giving to the Lord. But the idea of being compelled to give a tithe, as in the old law, that is not expressed under law to Christ. The Lord wants us to give from our heart cheerfully, not being compelled to do a 10%. Does that make sense? Well,
so my understanding is now we no longer follow Malachi 3 and 8.
No, we do not. That was nailed to the cross. We will not be judged by Malachi or all the way back to Genesis. We're going to be judged by the law of Christ. And if we go back to Malachi to defend ourselves, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 says that Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And so we cannot even go back there to defend a practice.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for calling, and thank you for listening. We sure do appreciate it. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're doing our best to get through all these questions. And so we do want you to know you can call the operator standing by at any moment, 553-5157, to receive a correspondence course. We do want to encourage you in that because that's where you get the greatest nutrition from God's Word in your own personal study. Nick, you have another question?
Yes, this question comes from Sarah. And, Sarah, I hope that you've been listening to the discussion because I believe throughout the discussion your question was answered. She says, about tithing, it seems as if ministers refuse to go to the New Testament. They just beat up on the church with the Old Testament. I hope that's not what they're doing, Sarah. It says, again, the leadership and the minister, and I guess people just follow along, and your question is why? Why is that? Well, again, as we've identified, the Old Testament does have a purpose. Again, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, said whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so the Scripture shows us that the Old Testament was written for our learning, that we can learn how the God treated the people when they listened and when they disobeyed. But concerning the church was established, again, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost. And once the church was established, those that make up the body of Christ, those who make up the church, must follow the New Testament law. That's what Jesus Christ came to establish. In Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13, the Bible says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. And so it's not the idea that Jesus came to destroy the law of the prophets. He did not come to destroy the law of the prophets, but he came to fulfill. And thus, in fulfilling it, it was set aside, and he brought in the new covenant. And that's the covenant that we have to live by. That is the New Testament. You want to learn about the church? You don't go to the Old Testament to learn about the church. You won't find a church in the Old Testament. The church was established in the New Testament, and in all that God had to say to the church concerning these through the apostles, you'll see letters that were sent to the church. In fact, 1 and 2 Corinthians, those are letters or epistles to the church at Corinth. The book of Ephesians is a letter to the church at Ephesus. And so you have all these letters that were sent to the churches. These letters were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and these men spoke. These men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I hope that's helpful to you. Again, the encouragement to anyone who's listening that if you are a part of the church, you will abide or you will at least follow the New Testament covenant.
We do want you to know how much we appreciate you have taken the time with us today. We want you to know also the caller that called in about Cain and Abel and who all was on the earth back then. We're going to deal with that next week, as well as Ben, your question, and also Marilyn. We're going to get with your question next week as well. But we've just about completely run out of time, and we want you to know how much we certainly do appreciate you calling in and joining with us as we let the Bible speak. There's only one thing that we should be mindful of. When we stand before God one day, it won't be Brother so-and-so or the pastor so-and-so that's going to be judging us. It will be Jesus Christ. His word and his word alone is what is going to judge us. And so, please, let's let the Bible speak in our lives so that we can be faithful to him. Again, we want to thank you for listening today. Tune in again next week, Lord willing, as we let the Bible speak.
Be one with you, O God, and walk beside you all the way. Hold my hand in your hand and be faithful every day. You're the reason I'm leaving, rejoicing all the way.
You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, a weekly live broadcast where you ask the questions and God's Word gives the answers. It is our prayer that God receives all honor and glory from this broadcast. The program is made possible by Christians belonging to Christ who meet for worship in Goose Creek. We're so blessed by God and are thrilled to be able to share God's pure gospel with you, so each of us will be prepared for the time when we'll meet God face to face and be judged by that same word. It is so very important that we turn to the Bible alone in all matters of faith,
We must seek only His will in everything. We must be committed to let the Bible speak for itself. You can continue to call after the broadcast today for free Bible material at 553-5157. Call now for the material. Later, you can continue to call 24/7 for a daily recorded message from God's Word. Thank you for joining us today. Tell others about the program and be sure to tune in next week at this time for Let the Bible Speak.